Pretty Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 24th edition of Courmayeur Marine Festival, and today I'm joined by Martin Askew, who's co-writer and actor in Snow in Paradise by Andrew Hill. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. You've been very hospitable and lovely, and I love Italian people. I call my eyes is bellissimo.
And I know that you started traveling with this film from Certain Regard in Cannes.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, what do you think of Courmayeur? What do you think about genre festivals?
I think Courmayeur, out of all the festivals I've been to, is the most beautiful festival. It's like in the middle of these wonderful, beautiful mountains, and it's so chilled and laid back. And also the cinema was amazing. I mean, the sound in the cinema, and I've been to some big cinemas, and it's really impressive. I'm really impressed, and I think it's up there with the, you know, it should be a lot more famous than it is. And hopefully next year when you have it, there'll be some snow, because it's lacking because of global warming.
2 years ago it was so snowy, but it was beautiful, like total white.
Yeah, I mean, it is picturesque, but then I come from London, and a big urban city like that, you see a bit of greenery and you turn into sort of like it's like a Mark Twain book. It's beautiful, yeah. I'll be up in the mountains later, isolating in a cave somewhere.
So let's talk about Snow in Paradise. We know that it's based on true events that you personally experienced, because your uncle was the governor, Jenny McLean, governor.
Well, in actual fact, I mean, that was in some press. Lenny McLean was a very famous street fighter. He was my cousin, my uncle. We called him Uncle Len. But Jimmy's not, he's not based on Lenny. Jimmy is a fictional character who's based on many, many different gangsters that I grew up around when I was a young man. So he's like, he's augmented into a Jimmy. He's not Lenny. Lenny was a really lovely guy, and he was never involved in drugs, Lenny. He was a very ferocious, fearsome street fighter, but he was also a comedian. He was one of the funniest men I ever knew, and also one of the first people who ever tried to introduce me to the film industry. Well, because he was involved in a film called Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, made by Mr. Guy Ritchie, who's a friend of mine, actually. He's a nice, very nice man. And Lenny introduced me to Guy on Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels a long, long time ago. Later on, I eventually worked with Guy Ritchie.
You were associate producer on...
I was associate producer on a film called Rock and Roller, and I'd done a two and a half year, I call it my apprenticeship, with one of the master craftsmen of British cinema. And it was a fantastic experience to work.
So how did it all start with Andrew Hill? Because he's with this film, he made this directorial debut, but he is an editor, a famous editor. So
Andrew Hume is one of Britain's top editors. I mean, he's, when it comes to editorial work, he's a genius. And I think he's a fantastic director. I think he's got such a good eye, and what he done without Andrew's eye, this film would have never gone to Cannes and places like Courmayeur. It would have never gone around the circuit, you know. He's a wonderful director and a very good friend of mine, actually. And also, we wrote the screenplay together, and it took some time. And you know, we was back and forward over many years. The original idea was an idea from a short I had, all about a man who commits an act of violence and then becomes a Muslim in Hyde Park. But Andrew wanted to go further with it, and we did go further with it, and this augment manifested this film based on true. But it can't be completely true, because when you're writing screenplays, things change drastically all the time, as we know. Austerity, monetary troubles. To get a film made, you have to conform to some Some otherwise, no one will put money into it. And but we met lots of fantastic European people, and they jumped on board, and they thank God for that, because we was having a hard time in England getting this film made. Yeah, very difficult. It's a very, very contentious subject matter. Someone who becomes a good man, a Muslim, basically. And in the West, the media projects anyone associated with that faith as being...
You showed that in, you know, Dave, the protagonist, is at first he expresses like what a lot of people think about Muslims, like, I mean, all the stereotypes, let's say that.
Stereotypes is holding Kalashnikov, Allahu Akbar, you know, all that cliche nonsense, really, that the media projects. And for me, it wasn't like that. I mean, I was in a very disenfranchised, a very violent young man when I was young. And when I went that way, it helped me and stopped me from being aggressive, and helped me interact within the world society, not just in my own little tribe of people. It helped me communicate with people and connect with people, whether they was Hindu, Jew, Christian, Buddhist, secularist, whether they was gay, you know, arty types, upper class, lower class, all creeds and cultures. And it gave me those tools to be a better human being. So for me, and many of the world's Muslims, I'd say 99%, you know, every faith and every culture has lunatics, basically, and murderers. You shoot a gun and kill people, don't call yourself anything, you're a bad person. It's simple. You don't need to get deep into theology, philosophy, to understand that. We're sitting here now talking, very civilized. If someone pulls out a gun, they're not civilized. You know? And it's the same in gangsterisms, and it being Italian, you know, it's part of your culture, you know, that whole thing.
And the culture sometimes,
and it's horrendous, and it shouldn't be part of your culture. And it's like where I come from, it was part of my religion as such. I was brought up understanding certain values and certain rules and regulations, which was based upon criminality. And it's atrocious, and we must all stand up against any forms of mafia. And I live my life, I don't want nothing to do with that. And I'll stand with the good people, and there's a lot of good people, and a lot of good people willing to voice their views. Unfortunately, some of those good people in history seem to get shot by bad people, again, who don't like them voicing their views. But
we were talking about how gangster codes can be really in the society, like something that you sort of get brainwashed with. And that's something that you expressed very good in that scene in which Dave, the protagonist, is, like, say, is blaming this other gangster for his friend's loss. Yeah. For lost. I mean, because you see that sometimes in this gangster society, there are some family codes that sort of get into you. I mean, they sometimes don't really, you can't really tell the difference between what would be the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do, because you sort of grow up in those values.
Of course, your family. So you've got your family values, you've got your values from your society, and the more tarred with criminality your society is, the more your values are cloudy. And but innately, as a human being, you know what's good and you know what's not good. You don't. But if you want, you know, if someone wants to advance themselves even more, you try to look into stuff to make yourself even better. Because there's a word in Islam called jihad, which people misconstrue, always meaning holy war. But jihad is a struggle. It means struggle in Arabic, and we all have got to. I'm not saying Muslims, non-Muslims, Christians. We've all got to look at ourselves every day in the mirror. and look at ourselves, because we're the enemy, not the outside forces. And when we all start to try to change within, our world's going to be a much better place. And but we need to work on us. You know, we don't blame their work colleague or the next journalist or the next actor and think, oh, I should have got that job. And you know, it's their fault that I'm doing this. I'm interviewing Martin today when I could have been interviewing Brad Pitt. You know, it's like, you know, what I'm saying is it's us. We're the problem.
Sometimes I think that religion could help you, like, convey all that energy that comes from anger and issues that you have. And I mean, sometimes you don't know how to really use that energy, you know.
We in the Western world, we had two massive, huge world wars. Before those world wars, Europe was a very devoutly religious place, and it was everywhere religion, didn't they? But after two world wars and mass destruction, people lost their faith. You know, they lost it. They thought they'd had enough of war, and they're blaming it on the church and whatnot. And it's similar things happening in Islam. You know, Muslims are like losing the fact because war's all over the Muslim world. But if you look at the essence of all the books and all the great monotheistic religions and all the philosophies, it's always about love, compassion, tolerance. And that is what we need to do, and connection. We walk around with iPhones now. We don't even connect with each other when we're interacting in a shop. And that's, we're so far from the sacred, because to connect with another human being is a sacred thing. And we're even losing that now because we're all too busy on our phones, you know. So hopefully this film will connect on a level we try to. It could have been any religion he went to. It could have been any philosophy Dave went to. But it was based on my own journey. And my journey was one of, look, I work with young kids in London who may end up in the criminal world themselves, to try to turn them away and say, listen, you can have a nice life. If you put all the energy you put into selling drugs or going to rob somewhere, you could go and put all that energy into kicking a ball, or going to do some drama, or going to do some painting, or something positive. With your energy, you'll go right to the top of the world. But you just gotta get them and be patient and try, and that's what we need to do. I want all these things to become a thing of the past, negativity. And I believe this world can be somewhere beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark and Askew, for being here with us.
Thank you, Chiara.
Fatto, grazie.
Chiara, which is Claire in English, which is boring in English. Chiara in Italian is very exotic.
Thank you so much. This is Chiara Nicoletti from the 24th edition of Courmayeur Running Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.